Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And the title and topic for today, Original Grace, actually emerged from a talk description that I once sent to somebody who'd asked me to come speak at their venue. And I'd called the talk Restoring the Factory Defaults. And that was the title of a chapter from one of my books, or a section in one of my books, where I talked about how well we're made, and that when we get back to the way we're made, when we start operating as designed instead of with all these kind of modifications and hacks and shortcuts that we try to build in that actually wind up usually creating more noise in the system than they do smoothing the path, we work really well. And the guy liked the idea, but he didn't like the title. He said, it's too mechanistic. He said, what if you called it Original Grace? And I was so struck by that phrase, and I've in fact used it ever since. There is a section in one of my later books that I called Original Grace. And what struck me about that idea, that phrase, is it's obviously the opposite of original sin. So the idea behind a lot of teachings, a lot of religious teachings, which then seep into the culture and become part of our cultural mythology, part of the way we see ourselves and our world, is that we were all born with the stain of original sin. So because, as the story goes, this woman ate this apple, we're all screwed throughout old time. And that's one of the weird justifications for why, you know, women are evil and can't be trusted, though I always thought, like, shouldn't we just hate snakes if we're going to take the story that seriously? But anyways, another conversation for another time. But what if the story of the Garden of Eden is not a story of original sin? It's a story of original grace, because before they ate the apple, Adam and Eve existed in a state of grace, in a state of perfection, in a world of infinite variety, but infinite beauty. That preceded original sin, which means original grace has to be our nature. Original sin is something that we learned. And the reason that matters, the reason knowing what is original, what is our deepest nature matters, is because that's what will be left when we let go of everything else. So when we stop trying to make up for original sin, when we stop trying to fix everything that we think is broken about us, when we stop trying to make everything right, we begin to see that there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with us. We are always as good as new. Outside of Rosemary's Baby and a few other horror movies, I've never seen anyone look into a baby's eyes and go, sinner, right? You look into a baby's eyes and you just melt. And they've done experiments, like everybody melts. It's the default, right? Now, that's not to say that some people don't do bad things. But if they did an experiment where they got these really tough looking Hell's Angels guys to walk into a supermarket, and they sort of watched how everybody reacted to them. And then they had them come in carrying a baby. And the same people who were totally avoiding them when they came in on their own just were drawn to them, because the original grace of the babies was so present that we all kind of returned to Eden for a moment. We all instinctively go back to that place in ourselves that never left the garden. to that place in ourselves that never ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what's super cool is that it's still in us. Is that the reason we struggle so hard to get back to Eden is because we never actually left it, we just think we did. And we live in that judgment, that place of good and evil, that internal divide where the one becomes the many. We go from the Tao to the world of 10,000 things. We go from the place of origin, the source, to some spot in the river that's downstream of a factory that's spewing chemicals. But if we go upstream, if we go back to the origin, if we go back to our true nature, if we go back to who we were before we were born, if we go back to that place where the Zen Koan points to, show me your original face, the face you had before you were born. Then we naturally come from that perfection. We naturally notice the beauty of the variety. We enjoy all the things in the garden. We don't have to divide them up into those we fear and to those we love. And from that place of original grace, we naturally live gracefully. And the simplest thing that I've seen about original grace in the years since I first heard the phrase and was so struck by it is that the only thing that sits on top of it is the noise we generate. It's not what happened to us. It's all the thinking that we carry forward with us. And something really interesting starts to happen when we stop noising it up. We notice the quiet. When we stop trying to think our way through everything and figure everything out, we spend more time in the space of no thought. When we go, whether you want to think of it as before thought, or after thought, or beyond thought, we realize that who we are is untainted. And as we live more in that beauty, more in that peace, more in that space of well-being, life flows. And our experience of life becomes more and more beautiful. It can't not. It is inevitable. And if you want to see more about your original grace, then all you need to do is stop noising it up. You can look for a silent mind. You can look for beautiful feelings. But you can also just notice when you're adding noise and stop. And what you'll see, what you'll feel, what you'll experience, at the very least, will have some of that flavor of your original face, the face you had before you were born, of the garden before we apparently left it, of our true nature, of original grace. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk with you soon.